Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got a new guest with us, somebody that we would like to chat with, particularly with what is going on with the abortion pills and medication that's going on right now. We've got Dr. Ingrid Skop, who is a OBGYN here in San Antonio. She also was an appointee to the state at one point on maternity issues. I wanted to get her on and ask her what is going on with the abortion medications that are floating around, as well as just the general situation of pro-life for pro-life folks here in Texas and in San Antonio. Dr. Skop, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, as you say, you know, for about 3 years now, we have had laws protecting unborn life in Texas. And yet, we're seeing some very egregious things occurring. One is that during the COVID pandemic, the FDA took away the requirement that abortion drugs, that is mifepristone that blocks progesterone and misoprostol that essentially causes a woman to go into labor to expel her child. These drugs were taken from a supervised setting, and the FDA at that time said they could be we could take away the in-person requirement. That has allowed them to be prescribed by telemedicine, but even worse, it allows them to be ordered online and delivered in the mail. So what we see is that even though the state is trying very hard to protect unborn life, these drugs are flooding our state. And when women take them unsupervised, and in many cases when they're ordering them online, there's no pre-abortion testing. They're not getting an ultrasound to confirm gestational age or to rule out an ectopic pregnancy. They're not having any labs done in advance to determine perhaps if a woman might need a Rogam shot to prevent future pregnancy complications. And there's not even really any way to tell if it's a woman ordering the drugs, someone who wants an abortion. It could be an incestuous abuser. It could be a sex trafficker. I mean, it's really off the rails that these drugs are just flooding the state. And, you know, I've talked to many women in the aftermath of receiving the drugs, maybe taking them in a moment, an emotional moment, maybe a fight with their boyfriend, and then immediately regretting that action. So I've also cared for many women through the emergency room who have received them perhaps from an out-of-state provider, and they have complications. About one out of 20 women who take these drugs end up in an emergency room. And so I've women, they have no one to go to because, again, it's someone outside of the state that's bringing the drugs in illegally. And so they come to our ERs, and of course we care for them, but they're being abandoned. I mean, this is really about the worst quality patient care I can think of. So that's happening in Texas. We are saving lives. I definitely have talked to many women who have considered abortion but decided to continue their the pregnancy and give birth to their child because they didn't want it badly enough to travel out of state, but at the same time these drugs are sort of counteracting some of the lives that we're saving.
Now, is it possible for children, I mean young women, minors, to be getting a hold of these pills as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the intake form for these websites, and some of the websites aren't even in the United States. Aid Access is in the Netherlands, so they're preying on women, and you know, they'll ask them how old they are. There's no way to confirm how old they are, or even again, if it's a woman, there's no way to confirm, you know, that they are the gestational age that they say they are. And so, again, just very, very poor quality care. Certainly an incestuous abuser could get these drugs and could provide an abortion to a young woman that he's been abusing and cover the evidence of his crime. So very distasteful. And I think if most of us thought about it, we would recognize this is not how we want women to be treated, regardless of how we feel about the issue of abortion.
That's incredible. I would imagine that the previous administration, that the Biden administration, was allowing this to get to be freely accessible, so that as many of the liberals believe, you should be able to have an abortion on demand. Is that where they're coming from on this issue?
Well, certainly these changes, like I said, occurred in the wake of the COVID pandemic, and nothing was reversed at the time of the Dobbs decision. So in retrospect, it appears that maybe these changes were made with the anticipation that at some point the states would be allowed to enforce laws protecting unborn life, and it was done in order to illegally circumvent state laws.
Wow. Where are we at this point with protecting the unborn here in Texas? Where do you see us going at this point? Because there are a lot of issues that we see that still need to be addressed. Are we moving forward? Are we moving forward at all?
So our laws do, again, they do protect unborn life. But what another thing that has happened, in addition to just these really unsupervised abortion drugs, is that there are a lot of lies about the laws. Which has been very damaging, implies that doctors can't continue to provide quality medical care. The reality of abortion is fewer than 10% of obstetricians will perform an abortion. So for most of us, it's not part of our practice because we have two patients and we care for them both. But occasionally there'll be a medical emergency where a woman may need to be delivered to treat, you know, a healthcare crisis. And the law allows that delivery to occur. It allows an abortion to occur if the abortion is what is needed. But there has been so much deceptive misinformation about what the law actually says that in some cases, I've spoken to doctors, my peers, who are confused about the law. And I think that was intentional. People are trying to confuse doctors in hopes that if they fail to provide necessary care, that then they can turn around and blame the law. The good news is there is legislation pending that will allow or will require medical education, continuing medical education of physicians, continuing legal education of hospital attorneys, so that those that are on the ground that are caring for women in crisis know what the law allows. And of course, the law allows a doctor to do what he needs to do to protect and save a mother's life.
Do young people, because I really like to focus on young people, because they seem to be very, very much misled by what they are told either in schools or by the press or by peers, et cetera, by organizations. Are they helping to mislead these kids on this issue?
Yes, there's a lot of misleading of the young people, starting with the fact that it doesn't really appear like they're learning biology and reproduction in schools. Many of the sex education programs are actually focused more on go ahead and have sex and enjoy yourself and, oh, here's some contraception, but failing to explain to children and to young people that every method of contraception can fail. So they're really setting these kids up for not just unintended pregnancies and abortions, but rampant sexually transmitted infections, the emotional hardships that go along with that promiscuous sexual behavior. So, you know, unfortunately, then when a woman does have an unintended pregnancy, they tell them these abortion drugs are safer than Tylenol. That is absolutely a lie. 1 out of 20 people who take Tylenol do not end up in the emergency room. And yet we're seeing so many young women in the ER that have been harmed by these drugs.
I have also seen the transgender men who cannot get pregnant advocating for the pills and abortion on demand. I find that to be absolutely crazy.
Well, there's a lot of confusion, as you say, among our young people. And one place to lay the blame is Planned Parenthood. They are often the ones that are in the school promoting the sexuality. They also are making up for some of their funding deficits by promoting cross-gender hormones to these sexually confused young people. And so we kind of see that it's a sort of a perfect storm of brains washing. And so therefore these kids think they're advocating for justice, but what they're actually advocating for is ending human life. And of course, you know, this is a human rights issue. Most of the time when abortions occur in our country, 96% are for social and financial reasons. So, you know, if we could address the issue that we're ending human life for reasons like those, I think, you know, many of these young people are very social justice minded. And so if they could really understand what it is we're talking about, I think that we might be able to see many of them come over to our side and really advocate for better solutions for women in crisis other than ending the life of their unborn children.
Let me ask you this in conclusion, because I've seen a lot of videos on social media where young people are arguing as to when life begins. When are you responsible for this unborn human being? What are your thoughts on that? When does life begin?
Well, the science is clear. 96% of biologists know that life begins at fertilization. A dog's life, a cat's life, a human's life. This is human life. It has human genetics. Its parents are human. But really what people are confused about, so there's no confusion about when the life begins. What they're confusion about is when should this life have value and be protected? And that is not a scientific question, but a philosophical question. It's a religious question. It's a moral question. And so we really need to, you know, start addressing the conversation in that way. I think so many people advocate for abortion because they feel that women need this. They don't see, like I do, how many times women have been harmed by it. If they recognize they were ending one life and harming, sometimes permanently, another life, then I think we would have much less support for this action.
Oh, that is powerful. That really, really is powerful. Folks, we've been speaking with Dr. Ingrid Skop, an OBGYN, and very, very knowledgeable about the issue of pro-life. Dr. Skop, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. We're going to get you back on sometime soon so we can chat a little bit more about what is going on with the pro-life issue here in South Texas and across the nation.
Thanks, George. It's been great to be with you.
Thank you. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.